Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. And if you are joining us for the first time and you don't recognize who I am, my name is Pastor Steve Im, and I am the new pastor at the Beaumont Seventh-day Adventist Church, as well as the Warren Church. And I'm happy to be here with you, all of you, and thank you for joining us this morning. I pray that as we are going through this COVID-19 pandemic together, that all of you are well and healthy and safe. And let us continue to pray for each other, that God will not only guide us through this journey, part of our journey, but that God will shelter us and keep us from not just COVID-19, but from sin and dangers of the world. As I started thinking about the COVID-19 pandemic that each one of us, without exception, are going through, I started to think about what can we learn from this incident? What can we learn from the pandemic? Whether a good lesson or a bad lesson, what wisdom and lessons can we gain from our experience? Because I firmly believe that wherever we are in our walk with God, and in each instance, there are teachable moments that we can draw from those events. So I started to write down my thoughts. And I have decided to share those thoughts with you in a sermon series entitled Pandemic Christianity. Pandemic Christianity. It will likely be a five-part series. I have down probably six or seven thoughts that I want to share, but I will probably condense it to about five messages. And each message will be centered around biblical teaching, but it will parallel our pandemic experience. Today's message is entitled Contagious. Contagious. I want to invite you to pray before we continue with our word. Let's pray. Father God, whenever we break into your word, Lord, I dare not want to share or for us to study without asking for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that will make things clear. The Holy Spirit will be the one that gives us clarity and understanding. The Holy Spirit will be the one that inspires us to hear and to put things into action. So, Father, may the Holy Spirit be with those who are listening. But, Lord, may the Holy Spirit be also working in me and through me, Lord. Lord, humbly commit myself into your hands that I may be your servant, your instrument in the sharing of your word. Bless us now as we go forward. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I started to ask myself, there are lots of terminologies that we have. Pandemic, epidemic, outbreak, endemic. What's the difference? Well, when I look at the internet, and the internet is always not right? Like there's the internet, the web has all kinds of its own versions of definitions, sometimes right, sometimes incorrect. So I found all kinds of different definitions for these three things, pandemic, epidemic, and endemic. Well, according to the Center for Disease Control, CDC, they say an endemic is a disease that is a constant presence in a geographic area. And a good one is malaria in Asia, right? Africa, or yellow fever, I think is in South America, right? It's continually present. So that would be considered an endemic. And an epidemic is when a disease that has a sudden increase or a sudden appearance and the number of cases shoots up, and there's more than what's expected for a certain area. You can think of the SARS virus in 2003 with Asia. That was an epidemic. Ebola in 2014 to 2016 in East Africa, that was considered an epidemic. But when we come to a pandemic, that's when a disease has spread across many countries and affects a large number of people. Some people even go to say it affects entire continents, which is the case today. In fact, a pandemic can be worldwide. COVID-19 would be probably the most relevant case that we can think of right now. The Spanish flu of 1918 to 1919 was considered also a pandemic, and I'm sure you can think of others as well. But it's safe to say that COVID-19, the coronavirus, is a pandemic that's affecting the entire world. Now, this map is a little bit probably dated in the sense that it has spread far beyond the current map, but you can kind of get to see, even with this outdated map, that it is a worldwide event. It is a worldwide pandemic event. And when a disease has spread across many countries and affects a large number of people, generally, it's considered a pandemic. But the World Health Organization, the WHO, nor the CDC actually defines exactly what a pandemic is. Like, they don't say if you have certain number of people that's infected, it's a pandemic. If you have certain number of countries, it's a pandemic. They don't really define it that specifically. But we know that we are going through a pandemic with the COVID-19 right now. And the fact that COVID-19 has infected and continued to spread throughout the world and in the United States speaks to its highly contagious nature. Many scientists say actually it's more contagious even more than the flu. The exact figures of COVID-19, how contagious it is, seems to fluctuate as more of the numbers are coming in. Months and months, they seem to be changing a little bit. But on average, someone that has COVID-19 spreads to 3 other individuals. That's on average. If you think about it, if one person has it and that person spreads it to 3 other people, that's exponential growth, right? That's a disaster waiting to happen. And I want you to consider this hypothetical situation. If we just start with one person that has a disease, in this case, COVID-19, if one person has it, and that person infects 3 other people, and the next day, those 3 people each affect 3 others, and so on and so on, do you know how long it would take for the entire world to actually get it? The population of 7.6 billion people, and I know that's probably a little bit hard to see, but in just 28 days, if we spread it to 3 other people the next day, and those 3 people continue to spread to other 3 people, just in 28 days, every single living being on the planet, 7.6 billion people would be infected. But I'm thankful, and I praise God, that we will never reach that number. I shouldn't say never. Never say never. But it's very unlikely that we will ever reach the number of 7.6 people being infected, because we have safety measures in place, right? We have social distancing. And the latest reports say that social distancing has been very helpful in the sense that it has curbed and spread out spreading the disease. But we also take personal precautions, as well as community precautions, as well as state and federal precautions. And so that also curbs the spread of the disease. And you know that sanitizing, whether it be washing of the hands within 15 or more seconds, or hand sanitizer, all this stuff. And even the fact that we may eventually reach herd immunity, all this stuff will contribute to the point that we will never, once again, not never, we're very unlikely to reach the 7.6 billion people. And I don't think there has ever been a case in history where every single individual has been infected with a disease. But nonetheless, COVID-19 is considered very contagious, and we need to be very cautious how we are exposed and we expose others. Let me give you an update. As of yesterday, when I checked the numbers last night, 5.2 million people worldwide are confirmed to have had it or have it. Out of those people, 338,000 people have died from COVID-19. In the United States, once again, as of yesterday, there were about 1.6 million people with confirmed cases and 95,000 deaths, and currently there is a 6% mortality rate. If you're interested where I get these numbers, Johns Hopkins actually has a website that updates these things real time in terms of maps and statistics. Johns Hopkins University actually updates this on the web in real time if you want to go look it up. But here we're at the Beaumont Church. I know we've had meetings where we're taking COVID-19 seriously. We are proceeding very cautiously in terms of opening our church. So because we want to do our part to protect the community and all of you who desire to attend. And I'm sure you've read on the news that even churches, entire churches have been shut down because of the spread of COVID-19 virus. In fact, there's a church in the Dallas area, west of the Dallas area, the pastor got COVID-19, and the entire Adventist church there is now under, stay at home. They're under quarantine because the pastor had it. And we don't want that to happen to you, so we are proceeding very cautiously with opening our church. But stay tuned. We will have some updates for you in the very near future, and because we do have a desire to open the church in a safe manner. So as we are talking about how contagious COVID-19 is, today's message is entitled, as I said before, Contagious. And I want you to consider prayerfully how we can apply this analogy, this message, into our spiritual walk, because there is a life lesson for us even through COVID-19. Usually when we talk, when I say the word contagious, most of you already have something you're thinking about. Usually it's going to be like something, a contagious virus, and I'm sure that's everyone's mind, right, because of COVID-19. But it can also be a contagious bacteria, right? Usually we think of sickness or disease that is contagious, but those are not the only things in life that are contagious. Have you ever heard that laughter is contagious? If we see two people laughing in the room, whether you know what's going on or not, it's a tendency for people to smile and even laugh as others are laughing. In fact, psychologists have done entire research on why that is the case. You've also heard yawning is contagious. When you see one person yawning, you like subconsciously, sometimes you yawn as well. And when you do it, other people do it as well. But other things are negatively contagious. I would say gossip is contagious. And ask any sports team in the locker room that a bad attitude is contagious in the locker room. There are many things in the world, whether for good or for bad, they are contagious. It is interesting, in times past, when we used to say something was viral, we literally referred to it being something connected or related to a virus, right? Like a cold virus or the AIDS virus. But these days, when we say something is viral, it means completely something else, right? Especially for young people. The modern usage of the word viral refers to something that when it is quickly becoming very popular. It can be a story, a video, a social media post, or any other form of media. A viral video is a video that is attracting lots of views and is gaining more and more attention. And I was tempted to put a couple like a viral video on there, but I decided to skip it for today. A viral post on social media is a post that is being shared more and more by your friends and your connections. In a way, these viral videos and posts, they are contagious in its own way. They are very similar to an actual virus. These viral videos and social media posts spreads exponentially and tends to take a life of its own. I remember, I think this is probably about 20 years ago, which really shows my age a little bit. There was a video of a panda, a mother panda, and a baby panda. And it was just an 18-second clip. And almost two-thirds of the way into the video, the baby panda sneezes, achoo! And the mom gets startled. And that video got like 5 million views in a matter of like a short period of time. It's kind of interesting why videos and posts tend to go viral. There can be any number of reasons, but often its popularity and its viral nature cannot be explained. There are lots of videos that we don't know why they go viral. Many marketing companies have tried to capitalize on this, and they have tried to create viral marketing campaigns only to flop, right? No one wants to watch it. But usually, when something goes viral, it's because it triggers a very strong emotional response to that video or post. And generally, they fit into two different categories, two general categories. Something can go viral because it triggers a very positive emotional response or a negative emotional response. A negative emotional response is something that incites or that develops disgust or anger and shock, and you just, because it's so terrible or so bad, you have to share it with others. But on the other side of the spectrum, a positive emotional response would be something that triggers happiness, hope, love, gratitude, something inspiring. Let me give you an example. This girl you see on the screen, she was 8 at the time, and her name is Vivian Har. She was only 8 years old. When her parents went on a date night, and they visited a gallery in Sonoma, and here at this gallery, they had this display, this display on child slaves from around the world. And her parents brought back a book that detailed the horrific life of a child slave. And when Vivian saw this, she started flipping through the books, and she saw this image that you see on the screen of two Nepalese boys carrying stone blocks on their backs and on their heads. And she was shocked because she never knew that there were kids around the world that were slaves. In fact, today, it's estimated between 10 to 18 million kids around the world are in slavery. Today, in the 21st century, we have up to 18 million kids in slavery. And Vivian imagined that what her life would be like, her and the brother's life would be like if she was a child slave. And it deeply saddened her. And she said, we need to do something. And what does a child do to raise money? They open a lemonade stand, right? And so she decides to open a neighborhood lemonade stand. And her goal was to raise $150,000, which would free 500 child slaves. $150,000 for a child selling lemonade is pretty difficult. In fact, her dad said, honey, that's a lot of lemonade, right? But this was a can-do family, and they tried, and they said, we're going to do it anyway. So Vivian started her business, and she named it Make a Stand Lemonade, because she said she wanted to make a stand against child slavery. She opened this lemonade stand, Make a Stand Lemonade, and she opened 7 days a week. Rain or shine, she was out in the neighborhood selling lemonade. And she started by charging $2 a glass. And although people were supportive, as you can imagine, she didn't really make a big dent in that $150,000 goal. But later on, she stopped charging. She stopped charging the $2, and she just started telling customers, just pay what's in your heart. Just pay what's in your heart. And that's when the money started rolling in. People were donating much more than the $2 that they were collecting before. But not only that, Vivian Har also posted her lemonade stand on Twitter, social media. And at first, there wasn't that much of a response. But her story went viral when the New York Times retweets one of her posts. And eventually, the mayor of the time, Mike Bloomberg of New York City, heard her story, and he invited her to bring her lemonade stand into Times Square just one day in the middle of winter. That's her in Times Square, was all bundled up, selling cold lemonade in New York City winter. But in one day, she made $101,320. One day. That's what you call viral, right? That's what you consider contagious, something contagious. And altogether, she surpassed her goal of $150,000. And that day, her parents told her, "Vivian, you did it. You can stop now. You've achieved your goal." But Vivian asked her parents this, "Is child slavery done?" And they responded, "No, sweetie, it isn't." And she responded by saying, "Then I'm not done." She continued, she kept on going. Since then, she's done a TED Talk. She's been on a Citizen Kid by Disney. She's spoken for Google. And she even has her own lemonade bottling company, which she donates a portion of those proceeds to freeing child slaves. Vivian Hart is a good story, good example of how something can go viral for positive reasons. But did you know that the Bible also mentions that other things that are highly contagious, other things that are viral? Yeah, those words might not be in the Bible, but we have examples of those things in the Bible. For sin, if you think about it, sin is very much like a virus. Sin has a lot of similarities. Similarities to COVID-19. For one, sin is highly contagious. People think when you sin alone. No, sin is very contagious. In fact, according to scripture, it has infected the entire world. Now, COVID-19 started in China, and the likelihood that it probably started with just one person. And the first person that's identified as being the carrier of an outbreak, that person is referred to as patient zero. And currently we don't know who that is, but for sin we know. Sin, one, started in heaven, and Lucifer was patient zero. Look at Ezekiel 28, verse 15 and 17 says, "You," speaking about Lucifer, "you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity," or till sin, "was found in you. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor." So the Bible says that even though Lucifer, before he became Satan, was created perfect, his wisdom was corrupted, and that sin was found in his heart. Lucifer sinned because of the pride in his heart. At least according to Ezekiel, that's what it says. I guess that would give us some insights into our hearts as well. Maybe it's the pride in our hearts that also leads us to sin against God. Lucifer here was patient zero, and it all started with him. The virus was sin. And like COVID-19, at first, sin didn't seem to appear that significant. It didn't appear to be that deadly. It didn't seem to be something that people needed to be considerate of. But like COVID-19, we discovered that sin is highly contagious. When we go to Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4, it speaks about the devil and his angels, and another sign appeared in heaven. Revelation chapter 12, verse 3 and 4. And another sign appeared in heaven. "Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems," or crowns, "on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and drew them to the earth." Did you know that the name Lucifer, the name Lucifer the angel, means shining star or the shining one? So when the Bible says that Lucifer, with his tail, drew a third of the stars with him in heaven, it means that Lucifer spread his lies to a third of the angels, and that a third of the angels were caught in this lie, and they were actually siding with Lucifer. From the very beginning, the Bible paints that sin was contagious and that it spread to all the angels, but only a third of the angels were deceived by it. Continuing in Revelation 12, verse 8 and 9 says this, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, And the dragon with his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The other angels, unfortunately, one-third of them were infected with lies. Along with Satan, they were also infected with sin. The Bible says they fought with Jesus and all of heaven, but the devil was not strong enough to overthrow Jesus, and he lost, and he was cast out of heaven. But I wish that it had ended there. But the story continues that sin did not end there. It continued to infect others, and that sin spread through Adam and Eve and eventually to all of nature and all of Adam's descendants. Romans 3:23 says this: all have sinned. Not most, not majority, not some, but all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You and I are considered in the all category, in that each one of us, we are infected with the virus of sin. And unlike COVID-19, all of us, all of humanity, has been infected without exception. And we all suffer the consequences, the pain, the death of sin. And the reality is, if sin were left unchecked, it would be an end to humanity with no hope of our future. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The result of sin is not just mortal death, but everlasting death. And because sin is a worldwide universal problem, the solution to sin also had to be universal in nature and worldwide. You know the very famous Bible verse that everyone seems to be familiar with, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Does the Bible say that God so loved select individuals or a certain country? Or only a certain period of history, or only angels? The Bible said that God so loved the entire world. The world, because he loved the world, he gave his only begotten son for the world. But we're going to talk about this next week more in our message entitled, The Cure. So sin is highly contagious, but sin is not the only thing scripture describes is also highly contagious. Matthew 24, which is our scripture reading, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Sorry, I'm having a hard time reading that. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. Jesus says the gospel has to be preached, not to most, but to the entire world, because sin is a universal problem. The solution also has to be universal in nature and worldwide in nature. Before Jesus comes, in his own words, paraphrase, the gospel must go viral. It must go around the world to every living person before he comes again. The three angels' messages found in Revelation 14, the first angel message also indicates that it will be a viral message. Scripture says, "And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who what? Dwell on the earth. Who are these people? To every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." The first angel's message will reach to every tribe, tongue, and people. Saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, and worship him who made the heaven and earth and the sea and springs of waters." Water. The first angel message of the three angels' message will be a worldwide, a viral event. It will be heard by every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. The message that we are to worship the Creator will be heard by all. I want you to notice, though, if you can see it on the screen, the last part of verse 7, it says, worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and springs of water. Sorry, there it is. This expression towards the end, worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, is very interesting. It almost feels like we've heard it before. It's because we have heard it before. It is actually a direct quotation of the fourth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 11. In fact, I put it in next to each other. Revelation says, worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea. And in Exodus, in the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested in the seventh day. Here, John, the Revelator, is quoting the fourth commandment when he shares the first angel's messages, which means if the Sabbath is part of the first angel's message and the first angel's message is a worldwide message, it means this, the message of the seventh-day Sabbath will be preached to every tribe, tongue, and people worldwide. The Sabbath message will be a worldwide message. The Sabbath message will be a viral message. The message that God is creator will be heard by every living being. Now, you might be thinking, in the ballpark, there are 7.6 million people in the billion, sorry, 7.6 billion people in the world. And there are tens and tens of thousands of people groups, not people, people groups that have never heard about Jesus. How is it possible that the gospel can go to the ends of the world? It seems almost impossible that every single individual will hear the gospel. But I want you to consider this thought. If we were to assume that there was only one Christian in the world, and obviously there is not, if there was only one Christian in the world, and that person, once again, shared the gospel with just three people, and he did that only for once a week. So he's basically, first week, he shares it with three individuals. And the next week, those three individuals also each share with three other people. You know how long it would take for the gospel to go around the world? 28 weeks, which is about 7 months. And that's only if you share the gospel with only three people just once a week. And the next week, those three do their turn. If we apply the same idea, doing it once a year, the gospel would go around the world in 28 years if we assume that the population kind of like holds steady. What about if we did it daily? The gospel would be spread around the world in about a month. But the likelihood of that happening is pretty small, right? It seems like an impossibility. But as the Holy Spirit is being poured out, the impossible will become reality. It's not your work, your strength, your wisdom that takes the gospel into the world. It's the Holy Spirit working in you. It's the Holy Spirit working in the world that allows us to take the gospel to the ends of the world. Someday, the borders of North Korea will fall, and the gospel will go even into North Korea. And Jesus gave this promise that the gospel will go all around the world. But the thing is, you and I have a part in that viral moment. The viral moment of the gospel going out into the world. We have been given the privilege of taking the gospel, which is the good news of salvation. And it also includes the message of the Sabbath and the message of the soon return of Christ to the world. We have been entrusted with taking that message viral. Which brings us to our final point. You and I, the sharing of the gospel, for you and I, the sharing of the gospel has two main components. One, we must share the gospel in words. We call that the preaching of the word, whatever you want to call it. Part of it is just sharing the word of God. But the second part we often neglect. The second component of preaching the gospel around the world is that we must exemplify the gospel working in our lives. It is the gospel in action. John 13:35 says this, "By this all will know that you are my disciples." How will the people know that you are my disciples? If you have love for one another. The love is an identifying mark that the people of God manifest, not just for yourself or for each other, for others, not even in your circle. In part, the gospel of Jesus Christ is contagious because love in itself is contagious. People can argue against theology or the scriptures, but it's hard to argue against love in action. And I would have the audacity to say, love is more powerful than sin. Love is more contagious than sin. But love is not the only thing that is contagious. Do you know kindness is also very contagious? I'm sure maybe you've heard of the story where basically a person drives to a coffee shop, a drive-thru, and he decides to pay it forward and pays for the coffee for the car behind him. And the next car pulls up, and they're surprised. But they themselves are inspired to do the same for the car in the back. And the story goes that for 4 hours, this thing kept on perpetuating. And I would hate to be the guy that stopped that cycle. But it did eventually stop. But which shows us that kindness is also very contagious. Faithfulness to God is also contagious. Joyfulness is contagious. And the other fruits of the Spirit is contagious. We need to be contagious Christians in a positive way. And you and I need to be these highly infectious carriers of this contagion. Because it is through you and us, us together, it is to Christians that not only people hear the gospel, that they will experience the gospel firsthand through you and me. It is through us that we demonstrate the love of Christ. It is through us that godly kindness is demonstrated. It is through us that faithfulness is demonstrated. And it is through us where the joy of the Lord is demonstrated. I am a firm believer, as Christians, we need to be the happiest people in the world. And I'm not saying we go to the funeral in the clown outfit or just being joyous. I'm not talking about being happy all the time. But we must have a joyful spirit. We must manifest the joy of the Lord in our lives. And not this artificial, put a smile on your face. Let the true joy of the Lord infiltrate your life to infect your life. And you yourself will be infectious to others. Friends, I look forward to that day when the gospel will go fully viral and every tribe, tongue, people of this world will hear the goodness of salvation, and that you and I will be the contagious carriers. May God bless you. Next week, we're going to continue our series. Next week, we will be sharing a message entitled "The Cure." Thank you. Thank you, guys. And I'm going to invite our song service leader to lead us out in song. God bless you guys.